Dr. Salvatore Forcina is a retired general vascular and trauma surgeon. He was born in war-torn Italy, making his way to the United States, where he became the chief of surgery at two New Jersey hospitals. He is the author of his memoir, The American Doctor. Welcome to the show, Salvatore.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal lives, more about your work, and what motivated you to write the book.
Well, what motivated me to write the book was that early in my practice, we used to go to different reunion parties, meet different people, and everybody noticed my accents. And they want to know about my background. Some people knew a little bit, some other people were curious. And so, I like very much classic music and old. And so, coming from Italy, many people have been in Italy and like the food, the people, And so we start to talk about that, and many people became more than one became very fascinated with my starting from my humble beginning to come to this country and accomplish whatever I have accomplished. Of course, this was not easy. Took time, many up and down. That's what life is about. And so in more than one occasion, there were people that say, Dr. Forcina, you should write this about your life. It's very interesting, motivate people. And, and at that time, really starting my practice, nobody knew me. I had to survive. And I had to work very hard, being available night and day. And it never occurred to me, to write this book. So the book came about when I retire and I have more time. And as you get older, you look, see the memory from the past. It came to your mind. And I have a granddaughter. She's going to be 10 now. And I was thinking about, I want to leave a legacy for her. Of course, she's going to be a much better position than me, because I start without nothing. And so I was wondering, maybe when she's become a teenager and she have some days that the thing they don't go straight or right, so maybe she can look at this book, read some chapter, and this book is a motivational book. They encourage you to accomplish something in life, because in life everything goes too fast and we are passing by. Whatever print you left, if they are good, they are going to be something positive about you. You improve humanity. About me, when I was born in 1941, in Italy, in between Rome and Naples, that was the battlefront there, Monte Cassino area. And so there was destruction, there was misery. People were hungry, starving. And so a member of my family, they got killed during the war. There were mines all over. And in desperation, my father, in 1949, went to Argentina to give me and my brother. I was 8 years old, and my brother was 18 months, to go to Argentina to give a better future, because He was obsessed with the war. He had been in the war. His brother had been killed. The brother-in-law had been killed. His father was a German prisoner, and nobody knew about him. So there was a very, very sad, very sad. So he developed some sort of psychosis about the war. And so in Argentina, I studied, I became a doctor. It was not easy because we were immigrant at that time. To be immigrant, you were at the bottom of the, really at the bottom. And it was not easy. It was not easy because my friends, they were the son of the doctors, the lawyers, the stancier people. I was the son, the immigrant, was nobody. But you know what? I never was envious of them. I was very proud for them to accept me as a colleague. And I worked very hard. Of course, I worked very hard. And I, more than one occasion, I had their admiration for them because they saw me. I had to study without books. When I was in the university, we have we rent an old house with many rooms, and we were like 15 people, 14, 15 people. And my friends, they were well off. I studied in La Plata. La Plata, University of La Plata, is close to Buenos Aires. And so my friends, they used to, Friday afternoon came, and they went to Buenos Aires. They had money, they had the connection, they had the enjoy life. And of course, I didn't have nothing of that. So that was the time when I borrowed their books because my parents couldn't afford the books for me. So I borrowed their books and I studied all weekend. And that was my, in some way, the beginning of my life that was to be, become somebody. I will say that also, I was lucky in some way because I have a father and a mother. And my father, even when I was very young, my father, you know, he lived in a time when the main thing was survive. There were big families. To give an idea, at that time in the mountain where they live, they don't have electricity, they don't have water, running water. So life was hard. And the main thing was just to pass the winter, to survive the winter, to come. And they live day by day. And they, even if you were thinking about studying or whatever, okay, there was no such a thing. There was no way for you. So because they had to work. But my father was a reader. He read all his life. They have just maybe secondary school, second, third grade, etc. But he used to talk to me because he was in some way resentful that he couldn't achieve the intellectual thing because he didn't have the means. So he wanted for me to study. But of course, at my early age, 7, 8 years old, I didn't want to study. I want to be in the street with the other kids, kicking an improvised ball that we made with the socks, you know, and a dusty road. And so that was our life. And so in the beginning, of course, whatever my father used to tell me, it never reached my brain. I mean, you know, it motivated me, whatever. But with the time, this was like, you know, just to, it's like a drop of water and the storm. It dripping and dripping and dripping and dripping, constant dripping with a long time, that dripping is going to make a hole in the rock. And in some way, this was my father talking to me. And then, so eventually, gradually, I was maturing, get older, start to open my eyes, and eventually I started gradually. It was no easy. It was an upheaval. I had to climb the mountain. I didn't have the shoes. I didn't have gloves. I didn't have nothing. Barefooted. And I had many times that I was really on my knees. And the only thing I had was just the hope of God, looking at the sky and say, God, please give me a chance. And more than one occasion, I was ready to quit. But thank God I didn't do it. And I felt guilty for my parents because a few things that they have and they gave me, I could not be ungrateful to them. And so that's in some way the beginning of my life.
Well, I certainly appreciate all that. So as you look at your beautiful 10-year-old granddaughter versus when you were 10, she has more resources. I don't want to call it abundant, but this idea of abundance versus scarcity, you certainly saw people that were starving to death and they didn't have probably clean water. And you were forged all of these really difficult situations that helped you to go on to do wonderful things. And then you've got this generation of people that have come after that have benefited from that. How do you help people to learn those same kinds of lessons? I suppose that's one of the reasons you wrote the book.
Yeah, well, this is a big contrast, what you say. For instance, you see, what I admire now, when I was 10 years old, I was like a small boat in the middle of the ocean at the mercy of the wind. In other words, I didn't have a goal. I didn't have nothing. So today is completely different because the kids today, and I admire that, with the internet and the communication that they have, they talk like somebody that was incomprehensible for me to understand that. There is no way. When I was 10 years old, compared with my granddaughter today, 10 years old, the way of thinking, reasoning, it's completely different, and that's beautiful that there have been that evolution, because we were like I say, you continue with the mentality, the example that you see from your parents, and you live day by day. There is no way. Besides that, when I was in Argentina, and eventually, I want to study, I want to become somebody, I will mention to me, people will laugh at you. They will laugh at you. And you felt embarrassed, you felt intimidated. All the environment was against you. So in other words, you had to keep the thing for yourself. It was a completely different environment.
And so it's certainly a blessing that does it concern you that they're going to that somebody that hasn't gone through hard times doesn't have grit, or is that not a concern?
Well, you know, that's life. You know, what I learned in life is that we are like a seed, the seed. And you, in order to have to prepare the ground, you have to prepare the ground. You have to put the seed there. You have to, put water. So for life is what you want to make about. The thing maybe are there, they are not there. But you have to your brain, whatever, had to, the motivation, you had to have a light inside you that had to push you to climb that mountain. Because, you know, things are not easy. They don't come, you know, it's not just you hit the lottery. Life right. is not just that. You had to work hard. And like I say, you know, it's an up and down battle. So what you had to do is that you had to set the goals, and you work hard. You work hard. And you, it's like a child learning to walk. In the beginning, the child is going to get up, do one or two steps, fall down, cry, and get up again. And that's the way you learn to walk. He learned to walk. And the same thing in life, we had the same thing.
I like those metaphors a lot. I like the idea of being a small boat on the ocean at the mercy of the wind. I like the idea that we're all a seed full of potential, and where we yes. decide to plant ourselves and cultivate, and what resources we give ourselves, enough sun, water, et cetera, it's going to help us to grow. Do you think that that the success is as possible for your granddaughter, I don't mean to keep going back to her, for young people today as it was for you? Is it easier
yes.
today, harder?
I think she would have better possibilities. We have better possibilities because, first of all, she go to school. There's an environment that she had in the school, she had books, they had computers. They have a teacher, the guidance. I didn't have anything.
Right.
I didn't have nothing. I was like the small boat in the middle of the ocean. I couldn't see the horizon. I didn't know which direction I had to go. So at least in this country, most of the kids, they have better possibility. And that's why also, you know, there is a, that's a positive. The negative is that, you know, the environment, sometime with the new thing, the drugs and the thing going on. Okay, I didn't have that. I didn't even know what was that. It was a different environment. It was a simple life, but was maybe healthier. We didn't have too much. Besides that, we had the respect for our parents. When the parents admonish you, whatever, okay, you were scared of your parents in some way. Today is it can be different, but if you select, like you say, you select your friends and you set your goals, you have better future. You can have a better future, better than what we have. And this is the beauty about the civilization. We have come a long way in the last 100 years. Look at the accomplishment. The world have achieved.
It's so interesting that there's different opportunities and challenges regardless of the circumstances. The story about how you didn't have any books growing up, and so the only time you would be able to get them is when your friends went on holiday, and it was awesome because you would just get the books for the weekend. And obviously your daughter has teachers and schools and books and the internet and iPads and every advantage. But at the yes. same time, we have prolific drugs and streaming services and gambling and da 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 da.
Yes, so
it's
yes.
just a different set of problems and opportunities.
Yes,
it's not better or
yes.
worse. We just have to chart our course and try to be wise.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, because I compare this all the time. The poorest kids in the United States, in general, they have a roof, they have a heat in the house, maybe air conditioning, they have a TV, they have telephone, they have a car, maybe old car or whatever, okay? They have a girlfriend. Compare with me, I didn't have nothing. Zero. You see, you're going to compare life. But you know what? I was not resentful. I was not resentful because I appreciate, because maybe if I have what the American kids has, maybe I would not have been motivated. Maybe I have been lazy. I said, why I had to get up 4 o'clock in the morning to study this and that? You know, we didn't have, just to give you an idea, okay? One day, we were coming back for the university, for the faculty. We were coming back to go to our house, and we found a small heater, the abandoned, that was thrown away, okay, kerosene heater. So we took that. We didn't have a heat in the winter time, it was cold. So we went to the, we bought some plastic tubing, and we connect from the gas stove to the room, and we use that as a heater. Imagine the dangerous at that right. time. Yeah. So because what happened was, at that time, when you prepare for the exam, I used to get up 4 o'clock in the morning. I was very cold, so I had my pajama, I had my pants above the pajamas, I had sweater, I had blanket cover over, and you know, and you were like a mummy wrapping and all the thing. And so that's the way it was to study. But you know, like I said before, because maybe because I didn't have the opportunity, I couldn't become lazy. Maybe that motivated me more. But I was never resentful of my friends that they have, because when I went to their house, I saw how they live. You know, and it's very easy at that time for the small kids to say, wow, look at him. Look at him. I don't have nothing. No, I never was like that. I was the only thing that motivated me to work harder, because I want to be like them.
Well said. Well, Dr. Salvatore Forchina, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? Most importantly, where can they get their copy of The American Doctor?
Well, they can go to Amazon, The American Doctor, and they also they can follow me on Instagram, Dr. Forchina, MD. And the book is very, 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 I have a, when I was writing this book, on more than one occasion, I have my relationship with my mother. I was separated from my mother since I was 11 years old. I went to private school with a priest. We didn't talk about that, but I don't know if we had time. But I was separated from my mother, and I miss that relationship, and between all the going to school and the different training, and life was no easy. So the book is very personal, and more than one occasion I had to stop, because I was crying inside. Because the memory of the episode that I went through, how I went through, how when the thing they were not going in the right way, and I was writing to my parents that everything was okay. When I came to this country, I was a doctor, but I was not, my title was not recognized in this country. I had to start all over again. I didn't speak English. And so imagine, put yourself in that. I was 28 years old. and had to start all over again. So here we are, the boat in the middle of the ocean. No, I don't see the horizons. And you know, you had to pass, learn English, pass those exams, a very difficult exam. And that, after I passed that exam, that allowed me to apply for a resident program, 5 year training, intense training. I couldn't practice. I didn't start to make a penny until I was almost close to 40 years old.
That's
why
wild.
You have to analyze all that, all put together, you know. And I'm not a hero. I'm not a hero. But that's why my book is encouragement for everybody. You can accomplish whatever you want in this country. If you work hard, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have a sunny day, but you're going to have also a cloudy day. You don't want to see the sun. But you cannot despair. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And that's the main thing of this book.
I love it. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, so show Dr. Forchina your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of The American Doctor. You can do that on Amazon. And follow Dr. Forchina on Instagram. It's the let's see if I can read my own handwriting. Dr. Forchina, MD. And I will certainly link all those in the notes of the show. Again, pick up your copy of The American Doctor. I'll link all that. Thanks again, Dr. Forchina.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too, sir. And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.